as we have sung. We honor you in reality, in deed and in truth. As we enter your word this afternoon, we enter it with the reverence that it deserves, being the word of the Almighty, Infinite God. Your wisdom compressed into this written word. Consequently, we're aware of our human limitations to deliver it and to receive it as we should. And so we need your help. We ask for that help. We humble ourselves and pray that, Lord God, you will anoint me afresh and help me to speak as I should as an oracle of God. Put the same unction and anointing upon the ears and the hearts of everybody that will hear me. Those who are physically present, those who will be hearing me remotely, electronically, so that the word, this word, will have free course, flow freely from you through me to the people, to do an internal and eternal work in every heart, including my own, causing our wills to become more humble, our minds more enlightened with revelation knowledge, and our emotions to be more controlled by the power of the fruit of the Holy Spirit. I pray for mercy, Lord God, that I will deliver the word with precision, redeem the time, and say only what you want me to say, bringing out the treasure of this word, things new and old, indeed as a scribe instructed unto the kingdom. In Jesus' wonderful name we pray. And all those in agreement with that prayer, receiving the blessing individually in their lives, said,
Amen.
I said this many, many times, but it does bear repetition. Amen isn't just something you just tag along a prayer. It's an expression of two things simultaneously. One is an expression of agreement. Secondly, is an expression of faith. And you're saying with your mouth, so you're releasing power when you say amen. So in actual fact, you are activating God's power to agree with what the person prayed and to release it in your personal life. It's not just a religious thing you see after every prayer. It is an act of faith. So everybody said,
Amen.
That's better. Amen. Do everything with understanding, folks. Today I have a very important message. I call it a landmark message. Not necessarily prophetic. Prophetic, of course, the whole word of God is prophetic. But this is not a It's not a prophetic message in that sense, but it is a landmark message. It's a foundational, it's a fundamental message. And I bring it, I believe, by the instruction of the Holy Spirit because of the urgency of the times in which we're living and the kind of thing the enemy is spewing out. What actually triggered this was something Pastor Greg and I were watching on CNN a few days ago, and a scientist from Oxford, I've forgotten his name now, you know, his name doesn't really matter, but he's one of the top, if not the top, scientists in evolution. And he was being interviewed on CNN, I don't remember who he was, Jonathan Mann or Richard Quest, whoever, you know, and they asked him to come and talk about evolution and God and all of that. So he said, evolution is a scientific fact. And what Darwin proposed in 1859, if I'm right, you know, you know, he is a scientific fact, and it shows that everything was not created and it was evolved from God. I got mad where I was sitting. I said, Pastor Wega, this is a lie. And yet they sat down there and they ate it. And I forgot about it. Yesterday, Saturday, I was praying, you know, preparing for the service. And the Lord said to me, I want you to counter that thing the man has said. He said, because these things are spiritual. He said, exactly the same thing President Netanyahu had to do after the Iranians spoke out and said they would destroy Israel in 25 years. He had to come out to counteract that word. These are spiritual forces. And so I have a message that God has given me. I've entitled it God, Science, and Creation. Now, for those of you who do not know, I am a scientist by training. My background is physics, maths, engineering. So I'm not exactly the dodo next door. And so you can't just pull over our eyes and come and bamboozle us, you know. So we want to examine the facts. The first thing I'm going to do is I'm going to give you the facts of scripture. Then I'm going to also give you the facts of science. Let me, as an introduction before I quote the Bible, let me say this. Reality is in two realms of human existence. There's physical reality that all of us can see. Anything you can make contact with your physical senses, you know it's real. For instance, brethren, you know, this, what I'm going to say sounds obvious, but you will appreciate what I'm saying as I go on the message. I don't believe I have a head. I know I have a head. You know why? It's here. I don't need faith to know I have a head. I don't believe I have a hand. I have a hand. Right there. I don't believe I have five fingers. I know I have five fingers. So reality is a physical fact. But there is another realm, which is the spiritual realm. But for the sake of people who may not initially believe in the Bible, and I use the word initially, because by the time I finish this message, you will believe. The only thing that will stop you from believing is dishonesty. Trust me. Is what we call the spiritual realm, what doctors, Pastor Kunle is a consultant psychiatrist, psychologists, psychiatrists, they call it the psychological realm. Let's, you know, I'm just trying to be scientific, you know, but it's still a reality. For instance, when you are afraid, something happens to your physical body. So you can, psychosomatic. So you actually, in other words, the psychological has an impact on the physical. That is a scientific fact. Hence, we must conclude that all that is real is not only what we can touch and taste and see. What is going on in our minds, what is going on in our brain, what is going on in our feelings is also real because it has an effect on the physical. Consequently, reality cannot only be physical.
Amen.
Having said that, and established that no honest, intelligent person can argue with, it brings us to this fact. Is there... Let me put in a question and then I'll answer it. And Life for Children, listen very carefully. And all children who are here, and all of us really, is it a contradiction to believe in God and believe in science? In other words, if I believe in science, does that make me not believe in God? And if I believe in God, does not invalidate my belief in science? Let's put it this way. Can I be a good scientist and a good Christian at the same time? The answer is an overwhelming yes. Hence this message. Let's have some definitions. I'm going to go to the Bible in a minute, but let's have some definitions. What is science? Science. What is science? It actually comes from Greek word, means double knowledge. What is science? It's just the knowledge of the physical world. My specialty is physics, so I can talk more in that area. But this spans all of both what we call the physical sciences and the life sciences, which is medicine and biochemistry, physiology and all of that, anatomy, you know. But what is science anyway? Is a knowledge of the physical realm. In particular, physics is simply a study of physical energy. So you have mechanical energy, we call it mechanics. You've got light energy, we call it light. We've got sound energy, you can hear my voice, sound. You've got electrical and magnetic energy, electromagnetic energy, you know, which is another realm of energy. Then we have nuclear energy. They are all different forms of physical energy. Why do we know that they are there? Because we can see their effect in the physical. Now, some of these energies are not initially evident to the physical senses, but it doesn't matter with their reality. For instance, if you walk into an X-ray room in UCH and expose yourself to a heavy dose of X-rays, you won't feel it at that time. You will smell it. In fact, you might even know you've been exposed to it if they didn't tell you. But because X-rays are at the high energy end of what we call the EM spectrum. The electromagnetic spectrum spans from radio waves, which are the ones you hear through your radio, your mobile phone, microwaves, which are, they have large wavelengths, so they're not very energetic. That's why they don't hurt you. Can come, you know, your mobile phone, you can hear the radio, it doesn't hurt you. But you get exposed to X-rays because they are very small wavelength, so it wiggles very fast. That's why it's very energetic. If it hits and enters into your body, it will destroy your bone tissue. It will destroy your muscles. If you're exposed to a high enough dose of it, it will kill you. But it's still real. Mommy Dukwe is an X-ray expert. It'll kill you. The same X-ray, even though you don't feel it. Can you honestly say that simply because you can't feel X-rays, they are not there? Or, let's put it this way, I'm coming to the Bible in a minute, but let's first of all lay this foundation, so let's start to put our thinking caps on. You know, people think because we're Christians, we're stupid. We're not. And you can't give us junk. Are you listening to me? Are you going to tell me that simply because you walked into an X-ray room and you are exposed to a high dosage of X-rays and you didn't feel it, you know that it has no effect on you because 5 minutes later you didn't feel anything? You need to wait for the manifestation. You may not feel it at that time, but come back in 5 months and 6 months, and the doctor will now do a checkup on your tissues, and something would have gone wrong. It did not get wrong 5 months. At that 5 months, it got wrong at that time because you were exposed to X-rays, highly energetic X-rays, which were operating above the speed of light. Your body didn't feel it or perceive it, but it did not do away with the harm that it did. So are spiritual things. Simply because you can't see the power of God, does that mean it doesn't exist? And because you passed through a high dosage of God's healing power and you didn't get healed immediately, does it mean it's not working? Let's check your body after a while. And just like the X-ray does damage, the healing power will do healing. Because if you're we establish the fact that there are two realms of existence. For a person to make a holistic conclusion on every on reality based on only one set of facts is illogical, dishonest, and it is very, very wrong. His conclusion of necessity must be wrong. That is what happens when so-called scientists do not take into consideration all the facts. The scripture says in one place, I'm getting ahead of myself a little bit, but let me just say it. He says that men suppress the truth in unrighteousness. Any honest scientist who's done a lot of research and work would tell you this. When you have a set of data, when I say data, I'm talking about figures, which you got from experiments and things you've tried to find and all that. If you're dishonest, you can skew the data to make it say what you want it to say. That is why when you write scientific papers, it has to undergo what's called peer review. In other words, another set of scientists will take the same paper, look at your data, and then they will do a critique of what you have written to find out if you skewed the data to say what you wanted to say. No self-respecting scientific journal will publish your paper if it has not gone through peer review. Consequently, these people cannot come and tell us things and cannot just come and spew facts and tell. The guy just said, he said he's a fact. I don't doubt, I know what he's saying, but he didn't tell us the whole truth. He took a little part of the truth and then totally ignored. He reminds me of our Babylon brethren. They omitted the weightier matters of the law. Is dishonest. I'm getting ahead of myself, but let me say it. Is evolution real? Yes. What is evolution? See, we have to define our terms. According to Charles Darwin, I'm going to quote from him in a minute. According to Charles Darwin, he looked at all the animal and plant life and came to the conclusion, erroneously, that everything evolved from one cell. So one simple cell, by random movement, and selection suddenly began to develop into more complex life forms. And those complex life forms developed more complex life forms. And so on and so forth. And then from there it went from cell. Then it became, you know, in aquatic, in water. And then gradually, you know, reptiles. And then gradually mammals. And then gradually, after millions and millions and millions of years, it just evolved. And then became monkeys. And then after a while, became gorilla. Then after a while, became you. Hello, magic. I trust Africans. Gorilla again. Hello, magic. Kobojano. In our language, that is, may a monkey not become your in-law. So let us examine the facts. What Darwin saw and what this man was trying to say, Debansky, I've forgotten his name, you know, somebody Google it. He was on CNN just a few days ago. Dawkins, thank you, Pastor Wally. You know, what they have seen is this. The evidence which they claim is evidence is this. They see similarities between the DNA in human beings and even in plants. Watch this. The facts are these. There is a similarity between the DNA in any living thing, in the human being, in the animals, in the donkey, in the baboon, you know, right down to even the plants. Am I a plant? No, wait, don't laugh yet. They see a similarity. They see that some part of it and some part of our own are similar. So they know that is the fact. But the conclusion is wrong. Because the conclusion is saying that simply because you see some similarities or some strains of the human being's DNA inside the DNA of a plant or an animal, therefore, you not conclude that man evolved from that. You can't jump to that conclusion. That's dishonest. You know why? What is species? Very difficult word to define. Fishes. Amphibians. Mammals. Plants. Different kinds of plants. When do you jump from one species to another? This is the issue. The fossil evidence which the scientists are looking at have discovered that there is break. You can watch the fossil record up to a particular point. Then it moves to another species and there is a jump. The fossil record does not show a continuity. We must therefore conclude that reality that we see is based on two things, creation and evolution. What is evolution? It's program change. It's an artificial intelligence program that God put inside something. He created it first and then put a program in it so that the thing can change gradually. So within a particular species, like plants, you know, you begin to see change. Within animals, you see change. But there's a time when it stops and then creation comes in. The scientific evidence of seasoned, and I'm going to quote a few in a minute, points to this fact undisputably. However, in order that, because they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, the Bible says their foolish heart was darkened, and professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. They don't want to accept the evidence. I'm going to prove it to you in a minute. The evidence does not show the scientific. Forget Bible for a minute. We're going to come back to the Bible. But the scientific does not even show that this complex man you are looking in front of you, your DNA and my DNA is made up of over 3 billion parts arranged in a specific scientific configuration and order. This is what we see. You now want to tell me that just happened by chance? I'm going to get to the Bible in a minute. You have to show me that scientifically. And some guys did some calculations. Let me share this with you. Bimbo, let's first of all go to, Lord, where do I start? Let me first of all start. Let's start with I think the smaller page. I think it's page 32.
where he just talked about these scientists. This is a picture of, you know, because it's very small, you can't see it very well. But let me go there in my own iPad here, and I'll just read it out to you. This book is available, and I want to encourage everybody to get it. I don't know this guy who wrote this book. He's a Christian, of course. You know, it's called Discovering God Through Science. It's by a guy called Steele. I encourage you, particularly the young people and everybody. I think it's about $10 or something. It's very cheap. You know, you can buy it online and use your Nigerian card. You know, any card that can work on the internet, you can use it to buy it and download it onto your computer. Where we are not allowed by copyright law to distribute it. The rest would have sent it out to all of you. You know, but you can get it. Now, where is the first one? Which page is this? Which page is this? Let me see. The History of Science, the foundation of it was laid by men who all believed in God. And I just want to quote a few of them. I can't quote everything because of time. Oh my God, I've lost this page. I thought I wrote it down here. Page 36. Where am I? Please bear with me. Thank you very much. Excellent. Okay. The late Dr. D. James Kennedy of Coral Ridge in Florida drew up a list of famous scientists who are pioneers in their fields. This picture here shows us Sir Isaac Newton, who is considered the greatest scientist of all time, arguably, but I would probably agree. While he wrote many volumes on science, including the greatest book ever written on science, which is the book of Newton's Laws of Motion and all of that, he actually wrote more books on theology than he did on science. He was a Christian who believed in a creator God. See, they were all Christians who believed in a creator God. Here is a list alphabetically by scientific field. I'm going to read everything because of time. Joseph Lester, antiseptic. Have you seen Lester? The antiseptic surgery. Louis Pasteur, bacteriology. How many people have heard pasteurization? Okay, Sir Isaac Newton. That one is heavy. Calculus, laws of motion, laws of gravity, dynamics, the theory of light, the inventor of the reflecting telescope. Johann Kepler, celestial mechanics, physical astronomy, who said science, this is what Kepler said. Kepler's a German guy. You know, he said science is thinking God's thoughts after him. Robert Boyle, how many of Boyle's law? Chemistry, gas dynamics. He left money in his will to further Christianity. Georges Cuvier, comparative anatomy and vertebrate. I don't know what this is. Charles Babbage is the guy who did computers, started with adding machines. Lord Rayleigh, dimensional analysis, model analysis. Of course, this person, some of you, if you've been hearing me preach over the last few years, you'd have heard this many, many times. James Clerk Maxwell, electrodynamics and statistical thermodynamics. Michael Faraday, electromagnetics, field theory. He was knighted by the King of England, and a banquet was held in his honor. He slipped out before the dinner to attend a prayer meeting nearby. Ambrose Fleming, electronics. Lord Kelvin, how many of Kelvin temperature? Energetics. All these guys are Christians, though. They all believed in God. George Stokes, fluid mechanics. How many of Stokes' law in fluid mechanics? Everybody's done science, you know. I could go on and on. Leonardo da Vinci, you know, hydraulics and mechanics, you know. Blaise Pascal, hydrostatics. You've heard of Pascal's triangle. I could go on and on, but I think, you know, I rest. The prosecution rests. Now, let's now go to page 320. Let's go to page 320. I encourage you to get a copy of this book, but I will just, I have to speak out against what has been spoken into the air and completely demolish it, because
Otherwise, a lot of young people will go thinking that, you know, evolution is the whole truth. It's not the whole truth. Now, before I read this point, I want to share something with you. I'll describe, because I can't read everything in the book because of time. If you took a jigsaw puzzle, I don't even know what a jigsaw puzzle is. Okay. Say you have the picture of a horse or a train. Then you cut the picture up into little bits and pieces. And then if you take time and you start putting the bits and pieces together, you get the whole picture again. Correct? Okay. Now imagine that you took that jigsaw puzzle, then you broke it up into its little pieces, then you now mixed it all together. You put it into like a bucket or something, you know, and mixed all the pieces together and then just threw them on the ground. Will the picture of the horse just come back? Say you do it 10 times. Let's say you do it 1,000 times. Let's say you do it 1,000,000 times. Let's say you do it 1,000,000,000 times. Let's say you do it 1,000,000,000,000 times. Can you ever get that original picture back without sitting down, looking at each piece and putting them together? Can that picture come back together by random chance? That's what they say evolution did. You take a random something, and you just say by random something, it will just come back together into an ordered form. It is against the second law of thermodynamics. And the law of entropy. This is scientific fact. Entropy says that in a closed system, underline the word closed, that is no energy is going in and no energy is coming out, that the order, the degree of disorder continues to increase. You know why? It's trying to balance its energy out. So long as you're not putting energy inside, it starts getting from an ordered form to a disordered form. For instance, you go and buy a brand new car from Kia. Brand new, painted. Come and look at that car after 5 years. It's not as the tires are getting worn. 10 years. 20 years, 30 years. You take it to the mechanic, you leave it there. After a while, you know, all the paint has gone off. All the chairs have become rotten. You know, the tires are worn out. What's happening? You're seeing the law of entropy at work. You don't have to touch it. You don't have to do anything to it. It will gradually deteriorate. There's only one way of keeping it back. You put energy back into it. And intelligence. It's not just energy. It has to be intelligent energy. If I mixed the things, the jigsaw puzzle, and I put them on the floor, and then I blew with plenty of energy, and I use my breath, or use a fan, or a windmill, something that has a lot of energy that can move the jigsaw puzzles around. Even if I'm applying a lot of energy, if it is not intelligent energy, it will not form to the picture. So you need a combination of intelligence and energy to have ordered life forms. Amen. So this person, he gave this illustration which I've just given. He said, in the first living cell, many atoms and molecules must position themselves in a precise position to form that first DNA molecule. We're talking about, you know, life forms. With the puzzle box example, which I've just given, as we apply a random motion, the more disorganized the pieces become. Yet, it is this very same random motion that Darwin proposes, which assembles the first living cell. The difference in complexity between the DNA molecule and the 500 puzzle pieces reflects many orders of magnitude. While the puzzle is 500 pieces, like a small jigsaw puzzle, the DNA molecule has over 3 billion parts. The odds of random assembly are now extremely small for the living cell. You may think that millions of years for random formation of life to occur is sufficient, but we will show that this is not the case. This is a mathematical thing. Scientist and astronomer Sir Fred Hoyle, 1915, he died in 2001, once decided to calculate how long it will take for the first living cell to randomly assemble itself. He teamed up with mathematician and astrophysicist, an Indian guy, called Chandra Wickramasinghe, to calculate the probabilities. After weeks of considering all that would have to occur for the first living cell to form, they came up with the number 10 to power 40,000. Many people don't know what that means. Your mind cannot. You see, 10 to power 6 is 1 million. 10 to power 9 is 1 billion. 10 to power 12 is 1 trillion. After that, we don't have a name for the others. We haven't got there yet. Now, this one is not 10 to power 100. It's not 10 to power 500. It's 10 to power 40,000. Now, put 1 over 10 to power 40,000. Then you get the probability that a random something could form into a DNA cell. The answer is zero. Give the Lord a clap offering. He did this calculation. This is Sir Fred Hoyle. This is a true story. After he did this calculation, and at the time he did the calculation, he was an atheist. Didn't believe, you know, the usual. It seems to be popular now for scientists not to believe in God. It's nonsense. In fact, if you go to Oxford, Cambridge, Yale, Harvard, you know, Stanford, most of these universities, they all started as Bible colleges. But today, if you go to them and you even indicate that you believe in God, automatically you get a very, very negative response. Because people have taken the fact of evolution, the theory of evolution to be fact. There is fact in it, but creation didn't come from it. It was created. Amen. I'm not talking to anybody here. God will have mercy. Amen. After he did his calculation, he made the following statement. This is Fred Hoyle. The idea that a living cell could have developed by chance is evidently nonsense of the highest order. When they saw the 10 to power 40,000. After doing this exercise, Hoyle became convinced that a creator was needed to create life, and that his chance alone was not sufficient to start it. He became a Christian soon after. Let me move on. This also, I'm skipping parts. I just want to draw out the parts I feel are relevant for this message. Also, a DNA molecule cannot live without the cell. And the cell cannot live without the DNA. So the whole structure of the cell and the DNA have to come together in order to produce the first living cell to start life on Earth. Even if all the atoms and molecules came together at the same time, would it be a living cell or a dead cell? would there be need for a God to breathe life into that person? When you analyze Darwin's theory with the law of entropy, it becomes an impossibility or utter nonsense. Utter nonsense. Then he goes on here to explain why Darwin ruled out God, because he kind of backslid. Now let me just quote this last part. You know, which many people don't know. I don't know. They're not truthful. In Darwin's last days, he returned to belief in the God of the Bible. The same Charles Darwin. He confided to a friend called Lady Hope of Northfield, England, that he was troubled by many of his followers who had taken his ideas and made a religion out of them. He was troubled that some of his ideas cast doubt on the Genesis creation story. It was reported that a look of agony was on his face when he told Lady Hope of his concern. Charles Darwin was laid to rest in Westminster Abbey in London. It is ironic that the man who had caused so many to question the existence of God is buried in one of the most famous Christian cathedrals in the world. Don't follow Darwin what he believed. At the end of his life, he changed. He will go to heaven. Where will you go? They won't say it. It's dishonest. It's dishonest. It's dishonest. Now, let me now go to the Bible and say a few things and close. Everybody, go to Hebrews chapter 11. I'm going to start with that. And this is the Amplified Bible. Hebrews 11, verse 1. Now, faith is the assurance, the confirmation, the title deed of things we hope for, being proof of things we do not see, and the conviction of their reality. Faith, perceiving as real fact what is not revealed to the senses. Jump to verse 3. Because of time. By faith, we understand that the worlds, underline plural. When the Bible was written, they understood that there was not one heaven. Scientists now have come to find that out. Do you understand? Now we know that we have our solar system, and then we have, you know, this galaxy, and then we have galaxies. You know, we understand that the world, it was not just this simple, just look at heaven. That's why the heavens, even the heavens of heavens. Were framed, the worlds during the successive ages were framed, fashioned, put in order, and equipped for their intended purpose by the word of God. Watch this. So that what we see was not made out of things which are visible. In other words, the physical is made from the spiritual, and the spiritual is invisible. Is this clear? It's very, very important. Now, let me also jump to Genesis chapter 1, verse 1 and 2. I preached this when I preached on understanding creation about a year ago, or a year and a half, something like that. But it bears repetition. In the beginning, God created. And I like the Amplified Bible, you know, because it tells you that we didn't just create. Everybody say prepared, formed, fashioned, and created. The heavens, plural, and the earth. Verse 2. The earth was without form and a what? An empty waste, and darkness was upon the face of the very great deep. And the Spirit of God was moving, hovering, brooding over the face of the waters. Now, verse 1 and verse 2 show that there is a big gap. When God made everything, it was perfect. But in verse 2, we now see a waste and a fall, you know, without form and void. So something happened. That's what happened with Satan's rebellion. So when stupid scientists, please God forgive me, I don't intend to be rude, but I have to, you know, it's my passion. No, it's dishonest. Say that the account in Genesis cannot be true. God could not have made the earth in 6 days because, you know, we know from DNA, we know from carbon dating, you know, and radioactivity and samples that the earth is billions of years old. You've not read your Bible properly. Yes, true. The earth is billions of years old. Nobody knows how long it took God to create form and fashion the first heavens and the first earth. Number one. Number two, nobody knows how long it took for it to become. Notice it didn't say it was instant. It became without form and void. Nobody knows how long it stayed without form and void before God stepped in. So you cannot say that the Genesis account says that the earth is in 6 days. It's not 6 days. Or 7,000 years. The 7,000 years, you start counting from the creation of Adam, not from the creation of the earth. Is this clear? Yeah. Now, I'll give you another scripture. Oh, God help me. Scientists have seen, there's a guy called Edwin Hubble in the 1920s. He was one of the guys who they used to verify Einstein's theory of general relativity. He was doing a lot of experiments and all of that, and using a telescope. They now saw that the earth, the universe is expanding. I don't want to go into all the physics, but it's a fact. We now know it's still expanding in every direction. That's why they now, by doing the mathematics backwards, if it is moving out, then it means that you can work out where it was a few years ago. And if you work it right back, you come to what's called the Big Bang. So-called Big Bang. Well, it's Big Bang anyway. You know, it's light. Where God first created everything. Then the physical, and I'm talking about what God did was he took something out of himself. Spoke it out. And the thing has been expanding ever since up till now. That scientific fact is inside the scriptures. Look at Psalm 104. I'm going to give you four scriptures. I could give you more, but let me just give you four. Psalm 104, look at verse 2. Who covereth thyself? I didn't hear you. With light as with a, who does what? What do you stretch? Rubber, elastic. So what is God doing? Why you see the fan? What God is stretching it? Stretching the heavens. He tells us that the heavens are not static. If it can be stretched, it's not fixed. Look at Jeremiah 10:12. Oh, good. He has made the heaven and earth by his what? He has established the world by his what? And he has done what? I'm going to close in a few minutes. I wrote something down here that the Lord gave me, that I believe will be of great blessing to us. And we'll look at all the scriptures and close. Let's first of all deal with science. The knowledge of science, how does it come? It comes by experimentation. When we now experiment, we're able to verify a law or a theory. Then we now apply it in life and we see it works. We see observable effects after we have experimented. So we say, oh, it's true. If you put a force on a mass, it will accelerate. So if a car starts and it starts moving at 10 miles per hour, in 3 minutes later on, it will be moving at so many miles per hour, you know, and so on and so forth. We actually experiment and then we observe. You know, knowledge of God is very similar. But in the case of God, we don't experiment. We get the knowledge of God by revelation. Then we watch this. We get it by revelation. We don't get it by experimentation. We get it by revelation. And then when we now apply it to life, we can observe its effect just like we observe the effects of science. So when I start praying in tongues, do you understand? I get it by revelation from the word that I can be filled with the Holy Ghost and speak in new tongues. I now act on that revelation and I now get the experience of speaking in tongues. And when I now speak in tongues, I now speak in a language that I don't understand. And not only that, the tongues now begins to enlighten my understanding of the scripture. I can observe the effect. So the same way I get knowledge from science through experimentation, I can get knowledge from God by revelation. And both of them have an effect on the physical realm. That's why tongues is the initial physical evidence of the presence of the invisible God. Just like when you hear the voice on a radio or a television, you're hearing the voice. You can't see the wave, but you can see the effect. You can't see the Holy Ghost, but you can see the effect. Two scriptures and we're done. We sang a lot about it this morning and they didn't know I was going to preach. It's very interesting. The Bible says the heavens declare the glory of God. Abraham Lincoln said that he can try and understand if somebody looks around the earth and says there is no God, but he cannot understand anybody who looks into the heavens and says there is no God. That person is a fool. The heavens declare. Just looking at them, they declare the glory of God. The second scripture is in Psalm 139, which says, I am fearfully and wonderfully made. We're looking at two extremes here. You're looking at the astronomical, very large, then look at your body. Your body, that's why I said God has showed it to them. Your body is a wonder. Fearfully, doctors can only tell you better. It is truly fearfully and wonderfully made. The whole system, the mechanical system of the skeleton. Look at my bones and how everything is just working. There's something each joint here. There's a particular kind of bone. There's not the same stiff bone here. It's cartilage. Then there's a synovial fluid. Just like you put fluid inside cars so that, you know, there will be, you put engine oil so that everything will be working properly. Because so that there will be no friction that will cause heat. God put the thing there, lubrication. Kyle. Even your teeth. Thank God for Professor Dosumu. He said, by their teeth you shall know them. The way it is shaped to cut the meat. It's not. You have the molars, you have the incisors, you have all kinds of things. Because so that it works properly. And you tell me that evolved? You can see the intelligent hand of an intelligent creator. That's why the Bible says that the invisible things of him are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made. And watch this as we close, so that they are without excuse. You have the excuse, oh. The evidence of an intelligent creator is overwhelming. You can only do two things: be dishonest and say there is no God, or bow and say. And you know what the scripture said? He said, "Woe unto you who strives against his maker. Can the creator, creation, say to the creator, why have you made me thus?" You know what? You're made. He has made you for his pleasure. You will give it to him one way or the other. For unto me every knee shall bow, and every tongue will confess. You can do it of your free will, or you can do it in hell for eternity. For the Bible says that the cry of the wicked in the lake of fire will go up to him day and night. You will still say, Lord. God is God. Whether you believe it or not will not change the fact. I have presented to you scientific facts that show that any kind of reasoning that says that there is no God is mathematically improbable. It's actually a mathematical impossibility. Let's even leave the argument of Darwin, which I have proved mathematically. Let's even say, just for supposition, it's not true, but just for supposition, okay, the atoms and the molecules came together. Where did the atoms and molecules come from? Okay, they came together. Where did they come? Where were the original ones that came together? Where did they come from? Amen. It's like the joke. Pastor Wiley told me this joke. That somebody said, the scientist said, God, we too can make man. You know, they learned all the, you know, how to put the pump and, you know, life-sustaining machine and everything and make the blood work and all of that, you know. So they wanted to have a competition. It's a fiction, but, you know, it's just to make my point and I'm going to close. You know, so they wanted to have a competition with God, you know, to make man. So, and they could make man from the dust of the earth. So God said, okay, let's have a competition. You make your own, I'll make my own. Okay, so when the competition started, you know, God took his sand and started to make his man. So they now took the sand and said, God said, go and get your own sand. Let us pray. Understood. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Stand to your feet. Go and get your own son. Don't let any opposition of science falsely. That's the scripture. Please put that scripture on there. It's in Timothy. Oppositions of science, falsely so called. I am a great believer in education, a great believer in science. Science is not contrary to the word of God. The Bible is the book of God's words. Science is the book of God's works. And Johann Kepler told us, he says, science is thinking God's thoughts after him. Bill Gates, it's in this book too. He said, the DNA, the computer, the DNA, is a computer program that is far more sophisticated than man can ever write. Dearly beloved, don't joke with your eternal destiny. So-called mathematicians, so-called scientists, they are pseudoscientists and they're dishonest. Oh Timothy, let's all read together. Oh Timothy, keep that which is committed to thy trust, avoiding profane and vain babblings and oppositions of science falsely so called. No true science can oppose the knowledge of God. You know why? All knowledge is truth. there will be a convergence. If you look at the evidence long enough to bring you back to God, that is the truth. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Let's talk to God. Let's pray. Don't allow anybody to pollute your mind, lest you be spoiled through the philosophies of men and vain deceit. Don't let anybody fool you. God told me, said, God, especially the young people, because your minds are impressionable. Ask for the evidence. Ask for the whole story. Not just bits and pieces so that to make their point. And when it gets down to the bottom, always ask them, where did the molecules come from? And go and get your own sand. That ends the argument. End of story. Oh Lord, my God. Oh Lord,
my God. When I cross the wonder, consider all the
I see the stars.
Philosophy to pollute your heart. We're going to pray together, man. I just want you to tell God that. Say, Father, I can see clearly from your word and even from the evidence of science that there has to be an intelligent creator behind the heavens and my wonderful body. So I know you are there, and I want to know you better. Those of you who are students, either in secondary or university, you have to write what your professors tell you to write to pass your exams. But anything that takes you away from God, don't believe it. It's not true. There's something I've said down through the years. It bears repetition now. Even in nonsense, there's sense. It's made up of nonsense. So when they're telling you nonsense, take the non out and only hold on to the sense. And so clean with the blood. In Jesus' name, we have life. Lord, have mercy on us as we pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word that has come to me today, making it clear to me how you have given man the knowledge of science. That science is actually studying the works, your wonderful works in the physical creation. And Father, enlighten my understanding that I will understand science, that will understand the things you have created and give you glory and use them for your glory. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word that has also shown me that I can know you by revelation. Oh God, oh God, open my heart. I humble myself under your mighty hand. For the Bible tells me that to the lowly, it is only to the lowly that you give wisdom. It is only to the humble that you give grace. I humble myself. Give me grace. Give me life. Give me light. Give me revelation knowledge. Help me to know you by revelation that I can act upon and then see and observe the effect in the physical world. So that I will not think that there is a God. I will know that there is a God.
and I will know you even as I am known. In Jesus' name. Nekato frenenga. Lipike tuske frenenges. Nenga rakatala. Shekito frenes. Tofrenengito. Langaras. Tolomo shoko. Tolomo tofre. Shekito fri. Tolomo kukro. Tolomo tofrenengaras. Jikito fre. Kakram tolomo tofre tofre. Tolomo tolomo tofre. Tolomo tolomo tofre tofre tofre. Tolomo tofre. In Jesus' name. We're going to pray for our healing in just a minute. And I just got a tweet or a text from heaven concerning that. But before I say that, let me say this. I mentioned it while I was preaching, but I want it to be stuck in your mind. You know, Bible says established in the faith, rooted and grounded. Not wave, no wave of unbelief or anything should move you. Listen to this. You don't think that there is God. You know there is God. I don't think I have a hand. I know I have a hand. I can see it. How do I know that there is God? By revelation, I have accepted Christ. It has changed my heart. I don't think it has changed my heart. I know it has changed my heart. I have the observation. I have the evidence. I have the witness. Are you listening to me? I don't think I speak in tongues. I speak in tongues. I'm speaking a supernatural heavenly language that is resulting in the illumination of my mind. I can observe it daily. I don't think that there is a God. I know that there is a God.
Amen.
Very important. Very important. Very important. You are established in the knowledge of God just as you are established in the knowledge of physical things. God is not an idea. He's not a philosophy. He's there. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. This is life eternal, that they may know thee, the only true God. He's there. You don't think. So don't, when you see people, stupid people talking, just walk off. I don't think that there is God. I'm not going to argue about God and philosophize about God. I know there is God, just like I know I have two eyes. He may not know, but I know, because I have the evidence. For anyone who has the witness in himself. Another person may not know, but I know. And then, of course, the heavens and the earth and all of the works. Very important. Let nothing on this earth persuade you. I came to these conclusions as a young man in my early 20s. With all my physics and all of that background, I came and I was solid. And down through the years, by the grace of God, nothing's been here. My knowledge of God has now increased. I can speak with authority. You don't think that there is God. You know there is God. They that know their God shall be strong and do exploits.
Amen.
Now, we're going to pray for our healing in a minute. Put your hand on your body. We're going to pray in a minute. I've been talking about this in the last few weeks and months. You know, Pastor Ibrahim preached to us about long life the other day, and I amplified that message. I shared with you something today about the law of entropy, or the second law of thermodynamics. which states that things move from a state of order to a state of disorder. This is a scientific law, you know, so long as it's a closed system. The same with the law of conservation of energy. Energy is neither created or destroyed. So as long as it's a closed system, the amount of mass and energy will remain constant. It can change inside themselves, but it remains constant. The law of entropy states that it goes from a state of order to more disorder, because a state of order requires two things. I've said it: intelligence and power. The thing that keeps the molecules together and keeps them in a particular order is a chemical bond that has an energy. In order to disorder, you have to break that energy, and then the energy dissipates through the system, and then it gets into a state of disorder. Now, where does it come to your healing? The reason I now got it, God speaking to me by tweet. The reason why we age and we get sick is because when God first created, and you know, when we come out of our mother's womb and everything is fine. But it's going from a state of order to disorder. If you keep God out of the system, you don't have something to correct that error. You will naturally follow the law of entropy.
Amen.
Therefore, if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall give life. It comes from an outside into a closed system, and then puts back energy and back order into the system. So instead of deteriorating, your system will remain constant. You know your problem? You are living in a closed system. You don't allow God in enough.
Wow.
So your DNA keeps, it's following the law of entropy, like every other thing on this planet. Have you noticed that if you just put something down, just put bread down, the next day you come and you see all kinds of mist on it, you know, it will get molded. Everything on this planet is going in the negative direction. It's following the law of entropy. It's going from an ordered system to a disordered system. It's a law. Second law of thermodynamics. But the good news is that it's only in a closed system. So long as I open my system up to God from the outside, then my system will no longer be subject to that law. For the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set me free from the law of entropy. Put your hand on your body. Now we can pray with faith. Raise your other hand to God. Say, Father, I confess our sins. And so we cling with the blood. In Jesus' name we have life. By the stripes of Jesus, I am healed. Lord, have mercy on us as we pray. I declare that by the stripes of Jesus, I have been legally set free from sickness and disease. Because Jesus himself took my infirmities and he bore my sicknesses. Therefore, sickness and disease have no legal right in my body, and I will not allow them to flourish, to dwell, and to stay in my body. So by his resurrection, life, and power, I declare that I am healed, and I release that resurrection power. I open myself to God's power and to God's intelligence, and put life and power into my body, from the crown of my head to the soles of my feet. I put it into my heart, my liver, my kidneys, all my internal organs, my blood vessels, into the DNA of every cell in my body, and I command you to function error-free. I put energy into you to keep you
in an ordered state in Jesus' name. Therefore, I say, I am healed and I live in divine healing and health. So I keep the laws of hygiene and natural medicine, of diet, of physical exercise, and of rest in Jesus' name. Amen. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Join hands with somebody. The Lord bless you and keep you.
Amen.
The Lord make his face to shine upon you.
Amen.
The Lord lift up the light of his countenance upon you.
Amen.
The Lord God gives you peace.
Amen.
The Lord God gives you peace.
Amen.
God makes you head and not tail.
Amen.
Above only and not beneath.
Amen.
Everything you set your hand to is successful.
Amen.
You are at least 10 times better than your peers.
Amen.
You possess the gates of your enemies.
Amen.
Even the gate of death.
Amen.
So you will live and you will not die.
Amen.
You will live and declare the glory of God in the land of the living.
Amen.
With long life of God satisfying.
Amen.
And show you his salvation.
Amen.
Even the perfection and the fullness of Christ.
Amen.
So the Lord imparts unto you the anointings of Enoch.
Amen.
Of Abraham.
Amen.
Of Joseph.
Amen.
Of Moses.
Amen.
Of Joshua.
Amen.
Of Ruth.
Amen.
Of David.
Amen.
Of Elisha.
Amen.
Of Daniel.
Amen.
Of Esther.
Amen.
Of Paul.
Amen.
And of John.
Amen.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God our Father, and the sweet fellowship of the blessed Holy Spirit rest and abide with us now and forevermore. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Touch said, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of disorder. God bless you. Have a great week.